Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jesse DePlanis. Thank you for tuning into the broadcast today. We want to talk about a Christmas message, the Annunciation. Oh, I love that. Hey, let me tell you what's about ready to happen. Get ready to learn the key elements of Christ's Annunciation and how significant it is for us today. I'm so glad the Father sent Jesus so we could become the righteousness of God. Let's go into part one of the Annunciation. Take some notes. You're going to learn something today.
Go with me again to the book of Luke, chapter 1. And I want to read that same scripture there. And I want to pull some things out of here that a lot of people miss. Luke chapter 1, I want to read verse 26. And I really love this verse. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, verse 30, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in the womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. I want you to underline that. Call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. Underline that. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Underline that. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Notice in this passage of scripture, there are three prominent points. We're given the name of Jesus. We're giving his messianic reign. And we're given his divine sonship in this passage. The name of Jesus, very prominent points, the messianic reign, and the divine sonship. Very, very important there. This is prophecy. This is prophecy. History wrote in advance. God's telling everybody what he will be and is. Now, his name, Jesus, was prophecy. Write this down. What does Jesus mean? A lot of people don't know what Jesus means. Jesus means Jehovah saves. Write that down. Jesus' name says Jehovah saves. That's why the name said he shall be for all people. He had to give him the name of Jesus because he came to save his people. Jehovah saves. His messianic reign, because they knew it was coming. See those three prominent points in that. His messianic reign, his reign was given over the throne of David, and his reign over the house of Jacob forever. And that's all in the genealogies of things. You got to understand the reason why they didn't talk much about the virgin birth, they really weren't allowed to talk about that. They had to go out and tell people that Jesus Christ was born. Yes. See what I'm saying? That he was born. So you don't hear him talk much about that at the upper rooms. None of that. Not that they were trying to hide it, but that was not their agenda. The disciples didn't talk about it neither, because they had an agenda to go in the world, preach this gospel to every creature. Now, it's a miracle for a virgin to have a son. That's true. But see, that was not the miracle. The miracle was really that Jesus came. The miracle was Jehovah saves. The miracle was you have a leader, a messianic reign over the house of David and over the house of Jacob, over the city of David and the house of Jacob. And then number three, his divine sonship, who he was. His divine sonship, what does that mean? He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. Notice it. Now that's as high as you can get, the Son of the Highest. He shall be great. In that passage of scripture, there's three prominent points: the name of Jesus, his messianic rule, and his divine sonship. That's why we call him God Almighty. Christ in us, the hope of glory. So I'm going to do a little teaching on that, you know, because a lot of times we just read over it and don't realize what God is saying there. Divine sonship. Now, I am a son, but I wasn't born divine. But when Jesus made me the righteousness of God, I became not the divine son of God, but I became divine in the family. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching. Now, people are going to get mad at me for saying that. I'm not saying I'm God. I didn't say that. But I was put into the family, into that lineage of the divine sonship. Now, think about that. I'm going to go over that again. In the Annunciation, 3 points are prominent. Number one, the name of Jesus. Number two, the messianic reign. And number three, the divine sonship. What is the name of his name? Jesus was prophecy, which meant Jesus means Jehovah saved. This is coming from the very throne of the Most High God. His messianic reign, who's he reign over? His reign was given over the throne of David and his reign over the house of Jacob. See what I'm saying? And then his divine sonship means he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. That's why we believe there are no other gods before him. That's why he said, no one comes to the Father except by me. Because you have to have a divine son to get you to the Father. Not a religious leader. Do you see that? So those three prominent points are very aware there. So people say, why do y'all say Jesus so much? Jehovah saves. See, God has over 70 names. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Tsidkenu, Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Roho. Yes, God. He's got El Shaddai, El Elyon, all different facets of this great God. But yet his greatest name is the name that cannot be spoken. Yes. But in that name that cannot be spoken is the name of Jesus, the Son of the Highest. Yes. Now you think about that for a minute. And buddy, angels were proclaiming that. I mean, this was something in that sixth month. Because something was really marvelous happening there. And yet the religious world could care less. Doesn't that sound normal? People will have church today and that's all they will have. Church. They'll walk in the same way and they'll walk out the same way. Not being changed, not getting a word, not getting maturity, the growth of the fullness of the stature of Christ is called your daily, your Sunday obligation. When it's more than that. You see what I'm saying? We're declaring that Jehovah saves. We are declaring his messianic reign. We're declaring that he is great. And I like that part, great. See, John was great. Jesus was greater. Do you see that? And when you understand that, because see, Mary is the most amazing lady. She was willing to risk her reputation. Yes. Yes. Are you willing to risk yours? Yes. Can you imagine what they said about her? Now, I'm going to shock you and I'm going to say this. Can you imagine they were calling her a whore? Yes. Yes. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching. Listen to me. Because in those days, if you was pregnant before you... before you got married, they kill you. That's right. She said, let it be even as thou hast said. I will risk my reputation. Jesus. I've had a lot of people ask me, boy, but Jesse, you get persecuted all the time. I said, yeah, especially on prosperity. I have risked my reputation. I don't care. Why? Because I don't have a reputation. That's right. I'm dead. That's right. It's not me that liveth, but Christ liveth in me. So they can say whatever they want. A dead man can't do a thing. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So my reputation means nothing because it's not me that liveth, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and he gave himself for me. So I don't frustrate the grace of God. Do you see? Which means somebody's going to get mad at this. I have a hard time sinning. I have to make myself. I have to get in the flesh. But if I crucify the flesh daily instead of Sunday, and when you do that daily instead of Sunday, then you understand the name of Jesus. Then you understand his messianic reign. And then you understand, my God, his divine sonship. Because you're living for him, through him. So people can see this Christ, this hope of glory. That's what Gabriel was saying there. And Mary said, risk the reputation. Elizabeth was not risking hers. But Mary was. That's why the angel had to go to the dream in the Joseph's mind. You take care of her. That's why you don't hear much about the virgin birth. Watch this, her firstborn son. Now I'm going to make some Catholics mad. And I love the Catholic people. Why did it say the firstborn son? Is it possible there was a secondborn son? A thirdborn son? Why would they say firstborn son? I leave it for your homiletical, hermeneutical, philosophical, theological thought. You see what I'm saying? Well, this is Mary ever a virgin. Well, that's nice to believe that. Okay? Firstborn son. See, you got a number. Jesus was the firstborn. He was the first begotten of the dead. What's your number? How many are you born again? Oh, you end up if you're born again. You got a number. You have a number on you. I have a number. Now go with me to the book of Luke, chapter 2. I just want to teach, because when these kids were doing, I said, I'm going to talk about that. Luke chapter 2. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm going to read chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Notice how much they're talking about Joseph. They ain't saying anything about the virgin birth. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. What is a manger? A water trough. He's the living bread. He's the living water. That's what a manger is. You know, as where sheep come and drink. Because there was no room for them in the inn, so he would not have been born in a stable. He would have been born in a hotel. There it is. Well, he was so poor. No, they just gave his room away. They wasn't that poor. They had a room. They had a reservation. I've had that happen to me. They've given my hotel room away. I said, you know, I bet you your descendants come from Bethlehem. Or ancestors, excuse me. Not just ancestors. Yeah. Gave my room away. Just like Jesus. So they had enough to get to Bethlehem. They had enough to rent a room. Probably more than one night. Come on. Think about this for a minute. He ain't as poor as all his church world religiosity says. Oh, he's also to be taxed, so now he's got to pay taxes. So he's bringing money with him to give to this guy, Caesar Augustus. Now watch this. You ready? I'm going to show you something here. Luke chapter 2, let's go to verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, I like that. The angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring unto you good tidings of great joy. Not just joy, great joy. Which shall be to all people. Underline that in your Bible. See, God knew that the house of David and the lineage of Jacob would not accept him before they didn't accept him. So he said, we will put in all people, all of us, because God is no respecter person. You see what I'm saying? Because see, the way the church thinks, or religion, if you don't do it my way, you go to the highway. And yet all God ever asks us to do is not our way, but his way. Notice that. Be unto all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Underline the word Savior, which is, and Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger. And suddenly there was with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. In this passage of scripture, there's three different titles. Notice in the other passage, there's three points. Let me go back to that. The name of Jesus, that means Jehovah saves. The divine, his messianic reign, which means God is over the house of Jacob and over the city of David. And his divine sonship, he shall be great, and he shall be called the son of the highest. That's what three prominent things. In this passage of scripture, there's three titles given to Jesus. Notice that. Jesus is given three titles in this passage. Savior, Christ, that's the Messiah, anointed one in his anointing, and Lord. I want you to understand the word Lord. Let's read it again so you can get it. This shall be the sign, and the angel said unto him, fear not, for behold, verse 10, which shall be the offer unto you, is born this day in the city of the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, you got three titles there. Jesus made himself one with us in the experience of life. He was tempted in all mannerisms we were. Because he was given that title, Jesus. He was, let me say it again, made himself one with us in the experience of life. He is not only our holy example, but he's also our friend. Amen. And the Bible says a friend sticketh closer than a brother. So that name Jesus, that's one of his titles, Jehovah Saves, as one of a very prominent thing. But he says, I'm going to go through everything you go through. He was tempted in all mannerisms as we were, yet without sin. Now, I want an honest answer. How many of you got tempted to steal something? Hold your hand up. Don't lie. Come on. Come on, hold your hand up. Put your hand down. How many of you looked at someone from the opposite sex? Don't lift your hand up, man, if you're a man. Don't you ever lift your hand up, because you're going to die, you know. Don't hold your hand up. How many sometimes you got so mad at someone, you would just like to hurt them? Hold your hand up. You want me to continue? Jesus went through that same thing. Yes. Exact same thing that you went through. Yet without sin. Buddha didn't do that. Muhammad did not do that. Hare Krishna did not do that. Jesus did that. Because he was given that title. He was a holy example. In other words, you don't have to commit fornication. You don't have to commit adultery. You don't have to steal, lie, cheat. I couldn't help myself. Now, that's another lie. Because of this wonderful title. His second title was Christ in that passage of scripture. the anointed one in his anointing. Let me say, Christ, as the anointed one, he was made sin for us so he could bring us to God himself. He was made sin. Christ, he didn't commit sin. He was never a sinner. See, all of us were sinners. We've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. But he was made sin. We were made righteous. Watch it. Notice that passage there, a title. He was the Christ. As the anointed one, he was made sin for us so he could bring us to God himself. Because you see, you couldn't go before God if you had sin in your life. You got to have something better than who you are. Do you see that? His death was our payment for sin. Or actually for disobedience. He died for our disobedience. And his resurrection was the receipt paid in full for the whole human race. He had a receipt. He said, I paid it. I declare man righteous.
Now, isn't that good? In Christ, we are declared righteous. I have to say that point again. Christ's death was our payment for sin. He died for our disobedience, and his resurrection was the receipt paid in full for mankind. Now, that is an amazing statement. When the Lord gave me that point, I thought, my God, that's true. We have a receipt. So when the devil said, you're not this, you're not that, said, no, no, no. I got a receipt that I am free, and whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Now, why are we free? Remember this. Jesus never sinned, yet he became sin for us. Why did he do that? So he could bring us to God himself. He wanted us to know who the Father was, because he loved the Father, and he said, I want to introduce you to my dad. What a blessing that is. I got a question I want to answer on the program today. This is from a lady named Joan. She writes, says, Brother Jesse, how did God inspire you to write your book, The Most Wonderful Time of the Year? Your insight on the Christmas story has taught me so much. I read it every year. Well, thank you, Joan, for saying that. While I was in a mall and on Christmas Eve, I shop on Christmas Eve because most people got their stuff by then. So, you know, I just go in there. You don't have to stand in line too much to get stuff. And that song came on. It's the most wonderful time of the year. And I've been wanting to talk about the Christmas story, but I wanted to do it from a different perspective. And I began to think about the characters that God used to get Jesus on the ground. And when I began to think that way, I thought, who would have thought that he would use Caesar, a terrible man, yet it got Jesus on the ground. I hope you enjoyed. Stay right there. Bless God. I'll be back in just a moment to speak another word to you. I hope I answered that question for you, Joan. It's such a blessing. Read that book. You will be blessed. Watch this right now.
Jesus said he could change a nation in a day. We can preach to the world today. 7.8 billion people in 7 minutes. A time has come.
We have a job to do, a vision to fulfill.
We're believing God for the unbelievable, the impossible, simply because it's doable.
He said, now, for the uttermost parts of the world are yours, go.
Every little thing that I can give him opportunity to expand, I will.
He's looking for people that are bold enough to step up and say, yes, Lord, here I am. Use me.
Come on. Hallelujah.
The only Jesus that people may ever see is the Jesus in you or the Jesus in me. Now, let's show the world who he really is.
Can you really have everything God has put on your heart? Can you ask anything in Jesus' name? Jesus says you can. Jesse's book, Your Everything Is His Anything, will revolutionize your life. Whether you have a vision, a dream, or something that your heart desires, Your Everything Is His Anything is going to inspire you to believe and achieve it all. It's time to expand your view of what prayer and faith can do in your life. Your Everything Is His Anything. Order your copy today.
Ladies and gentlemen, our December product offer, I love this book. It's going to bless you. It's entitled, Your Everything Is His Anything. Let me ask you, What are you willing to believe God for? His word says that everything is possible, not something, everything is possible when you ask anything in Jesus' name. This book here will challenge you to reevaluate how you see yourself and your desires in light of God's love for you. How do I get the copy? Just go to jdm.org for all the ordering information and you'll get blessed. Pardon us. Thank you for all that you do for this ministry. You know, this is my favorite time of the year, Christmas. And I tell you what a time to give to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just such a blessing. Of course, I do it. I do it almost every day through the whole year because I just enjoy being a blessing to God's work. And God enjoys being a blessing to me. And it's such a blessing. Pardon us, I can't thank you enough. We could not do this without you. Actually, I'm going to just tell you point blank. I'll look you in the face. I need you. Why? To go to the world and preach this gospel to every creature. And that's what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. You know, Matthew 24 is a phenomenal, phenomenal chapter. And God said, when this gospel is preached to the world for a witness, He said they have to receive it. He said they got to witness it, the end shall come. And your faithful financial partnership is so greatly appreciated. Nothing too small and nothing too big. We got more projects going on. And I keep seeing this and I think people say, you ever going to retire? I don't think so. Every time I go to think about that, God gives me another project to go do something. It may take a year to do it or 2 years, and we just do it. And it's just such a blessing. Partners, thank you. People are being born again every day because of your faithful financial support, getting healed and blessed. Don't miss next week. Part two of this wonderful message, the Annunciation. You'll be blessed. And I'm telling you, take notes. You're going to enjoy yourself. We'll see you next week. God bless you. Bye-bye.
You can broadcast the wonderful works of God right where you are. We have been entrusted to see to it that this message gets communicated to everyone, everywhere. You could be the one that changes somebody's life. You may not change thousands, but if you change one, that's all that counts.
Kathy Duplantis' Glorious, A Conference for Women, March 7th and 8th, 2025.
This month's partner offer is pregnant with revelation. It's titled, The Joy of Jesus. You learn how Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit with the Father, how they each expressed their thoughts and feelings to each other, how you can follow their example and live in true joy. I'm telling you, this is going to help you today. Go to jdm.org to get a copy. And guess what? You will be blessed. See, every sin has been paid for. But a lot of people have lost their receipt. They give Jesus their sin, but they don't give Him their life. There's a vast difference. They want Him as Savior, Jehovah says, but not as Lord.